Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 425 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your East Coast host, followed by my good friend and pal, Sam Alai on the West Coast. Hey, Sam, it is a phenomenal fall day out here on the East. The leaves are all turning as I look out the window across the lake here. We got green and yellow and red and orange, and it's spectacular.
God bless. Every day is a great day, Neil. Let's make it even better for our listeners.
Let's do that.
All right.
What are we going to talk about?
It's fun. It's about why these five skills are the hidden keys to legal success. Me and you, Neil, have seen that there's certain traits and skills that are very crucial, especially for where we are and where we're headed. And we'll talk about that, what that means, that are crucial for people to focus on and get better at. And it's sometimes they're not as obvious as they seem. And let's start off with the first one, which is prompt engineering. Prompt engineering. Neil, let's first define what that means, because 3 years ago, if you would have said that, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? And I said, absolutely.
Prompt engineering is how you speak to AI. That's all that is. And that, believe it or not, that is a skill that you get better at over time. You don't believe me? Well, go back to how you were speaking to AI the first time you spoke versus our more sophisticated listeners. The one, if you're continue using it, how much better are you at how you speak to AI, and thus how much better is the response you get back from AI? Well, that's a skill that you grow over time. Once you get little insights, little clues, and you go through the motions and you try different things, you're like, getting a little clues. Neil, when I got into ChatGPT, I started watching a lot of YouTube videos, and I started trying to summarize how to prompt engineer. And 2 years ago, now almost getting to 2 years that ChatGPT has been out, in the second month that I think it was like January 2023, I released a book called ChatGPT for Lawyers that I'm actually about to pull out. And I shared in a training and also a free ebook that I released at the time that ChatGPT engineering comes down to three things. I'm going to be sharing here. Number one is providing context. Context is just as much background information and relevant examples that you have that you can provide to ChatGPT as you feed it. Okay. Context, examples, background information. Number two, being specific. So don't ask for something just like, Nick, give me this. No, be very clear and specific as possible. Use as many adjectives, as many verbs, as many nouns as you possibly can, to be very clear on exactly what you want. The more specific you are, the more specific answer you get. And number third, kind of key point, is what I call stream of consciousness. Type your heart out. Don't be stingy with your words. Just keep typing, be specific, provide as much context, copy and paste examples, copy and paste different frameworks that you have. Just take information that you already have and just throw it in there. If you follow those three frameworks, provide a lot of context, you're specific in your prompt, and you type your heart out, that's how you get a better response, and that's how you get better at prompt engineering.
Well, you shared something a few weeks ago where in ChatGPT, you said you created an expert. I didn't know really 100% about what you meant when you said that, so I've had to kind of dive into that a bit. And really what it says to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, in ChatGPT, I keep a query on the left side, and I have it as a general topic area. So for instance, it might be estate planning taxes issues, right? And then when I find something relevant, I paste it into that GPT conversation. And it says to me, looks like this is an article about estate tax planning. Correct. And so I start feed it information. And then when it comes time to ask ChatGPT to solve an issue for me, I liken it to when Google was started to really expand, we talked about long tail searches. Okay? Instead of people searching for one or two terms, they would type a whole question in, and that had its own you know, a nomenclature, a long tail search gives you better results. Okay. Well, think of a long tail search on steroids, and that's what we have with prompt engineering. Okay. The more you can describe exactly what you're looking for and exactly how you want the AI model to gather that information, the better result you're going to get.
Yeah. And 3 years ago, as we mentioned this, we would have never thought that this would be a skill. Let's move it forward, because the next skill also, I just made a game time addition. That's what I was looking around right now, which is it's a skill that I didn't realize how valuable it would be. But now looking back after the last 4 or 5 years, being involved with a lot of law firm growth and automation, which is the skill of setting up automations and using Zapier. Neil, I would never would have imagined that would be a skill. It's something that law school did not teach me about what Zapier is and what automation even is and why it's important and how it's such a crucial part of helping you grow and automate your law firm. For our listeners, I'm just to lay the foundation, Neil. Zapier is just a tool that connects two different tools together. Well, these days, when you have a lot of stuff going on and a lot of data and leads and clients going on, you don't want to be sitting there taking one piece of information from one place and bringing it somewhere else. Well, there's a tools called automation tools, like Zapier being one of the more popular ones, that automatically does this for you, where you create a trigger, which is basically if something happens, that's your trigger, then do this, that's the action. So it'll just say, if a lead comes from a landing page, I want you to automatically add it to my CRM, to add it to Clio, whatever. That's a Zapier integration / automation that's required for a lot of law firm growth these days.
Yeah, you know, one of the complaints you hear most often is attorneys saying, I really just don't have time to do all that work, to collect all that data, to allow me to make all these decisions that you're talking about. Well, no, if you're doing it by hand, you don't. But that's not what Sam's advocating. Sam is really one of the leaders, the Mount Rushmore of automation and integration is Sam Alai, because you're able to tie together the actions of separate systems so that they function cohesively. And for one thing, it reduces error, it reduces time, and it gives you better results. So I would say, yes, this is a skill set that you need to have. If you personally don't have it, you need to cultivate it within your team. Somebody who is always looking at how can we move data from one platform to another, from one spreadsheet to another. It's not as hard as you might think it is. And the degree to which, you know, apps and programs and platforms include integration capabilities is expanding exponentially as well. So what you're going to find is, you know, for instance, look at all the integration possibilities that there are within Clio, one of the largest CRMs in the legal space. There's a lot of capabilities of integrating platforms built right into Clio that people who are paying for Clio don't even know they have. So get started there, if nothing else.
Neil, I realize that the amount of automations that you have running for your law firm is greatly positively correlated to the amount of revenue that you generate for your law firm.
Sure.
It's basically tied to how much stuff is being done automatically for your law firm. And you want to always be increasing that over time. And for the first time in about 6 months, I finally am looking at how many Zapier zaps, and I love looking at this number. I'm looking at it right now. And this number resets on the bottom left side of your Zapier. If you log in, it shows you how many tasks you're running. And in 1 week, I ran 78,000 zaps. 78,000 times four is 312. I think last time I looked at it was like 160. So it seems like in 6 months, it's doubled.
Okay, that's absolutely ridiculous. That's not even. Yeah, that's ridiculously efficient.
And I think in an early episode, one time we did a calculation, right, Neil? That was a little fun exercise where I basically said, if at the very minimum every task save one of your employees just 2 minutes of their time. And if their hourly rate is $15-$20 an hour, we were able to calculate that backwards, that that equals to $100,000 or $200,000 a month.
Yeah.
So this is all quantifiable into actual dollar amount, not just cost savings, but actually making you money. If I just realized, Neil, I didn't do the calculation of how much money it actually makes, not just how much money it saved me. Yeah. But who would have thought, Neil, 4 years ago, when he came to me like, you better, you know, take a Zapier course because it'll be really useful. I'll be like, what are you talking about? What's Zapier, first of all?
Yeah.
And why is it going to be useful? Neil, good news is, if anybody wants to go into this in more detail, about 3 years ago, I made a training literally about Zapier. If you just go search for Zapier for Lawyers on YouTube, you'll find it in detail exactly what it is.
And look, you don't have to be a computer science major to understand how Zapier works. If you can complete the sentence, if then else, you understand how Zapier works.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, it does have a little bit of a kind of a pseudo, it seems hard in the beginning, but when the light bulb goes off about how this works, then it's much easier than you think.
Once you grab the concept of how it works. Yeah.
Correct. And it's just like the same thing. It's like you're mapping data. I don't want to use the technical, I don't want to confuse people. Just look up watch the YouTube video. It'll make more sense. Number three is something that I strongly believe in: resilience. Doing whatever it takes, no matter what, and not giving up no matter what. It's a very important trait, especially these days, as the market becomes more and more saturated and more competitive. And I'm sorry, we keep saying that line, is that you got to stay resilient. Technology, Neil, brings about a lot of glitches, things breaking, people making mistakes, all that kind of stuff. You got to grow a thick skin, especially when it comes to technology, because constantly things are going to break. And the bigger you grow, the more things could break. And that's okay. That's why what I do for that is, one is your own trait, right? You got to continue practicing resilience, right? It's a constant thing. It's not like something that's just solved and also you become resilient. No, it's an ongoing work. That's number one. Number two is be resourceful, build your resources. So Neil, very practically, I have a bunch of people who are my fixer uppers. People when shit hits the fan, I message them. Hey, can you look into this? This seems like it's showing us an error. Can you fix that? So we have Zapier, you know, experts. We have landing page developers. We have whatever you think about. You want to tap into those resources when shit hits the fan. For the back of the letter.
Yeah. I hate to keep going back to saying I've talked to a million attorneys, but you know, in the course of doing 425 episodes of the podcast, talked to so many attorneys who said, oh yeah, I tried it, I couldn't get it to work, so I gave up. Okay. If you can't get it to work, you have to understand why it didn't work, what was wrong, and go find somebody who can figure that out. It doesn't necessarily, as you said, have to be you. It can be your fixer-upper team. Okay. But things are solvable. They're, if not solvable using the tools that you have, there are other tools out there. There are other methodologies that can be employed. The resilience, as you said, to attack the problem and get it fixed and corrected and expanded upon and improved upon and moved on are what allows you to succeed.
And let me just give our listeners a couple of affirmations. Do you feel like, you know, something that you can improve on? Here's the three frameworks that I just quickly came up with. Number one is assume it's not going to work. So just get over it. Just assume. You know, and I actually shared this when I'm helping lawyers launch their Facebook ads. Just I'm like, assume that your ad might get disapproved or your account might get suspended or whatever that is. Just assume so. Okay. So put that behind you. It's all good. So that's number one. Number two, there's always a way. Everything is possible. Everything under the sun. I don't want to hear what are we going to do this? No, it doesn't seem possible. As soon as I hear that, I'm like, I have an allergy to it. And Neil, I'm like, no, my friend, is always a way is the mindset. How? Well, let's figure that out. But let's first get the right mindset to be in an open-minded mindset to get us there. But don't tell yourself like, you know, this is hard, all that stuff. And number three, probably the most important, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's not the end of the world. Okay, boo-hoo. You lost a couple of prospects or a couple of clients. The big picture matters. your automations, your systems, your team, your infrastructure, your culture, all those big picture things matter. Not whether you lost 2 days of leads, 2 days of clients. Who cares? It's going to be okay. And let's continue building and continue thriving.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Let's move on. Number four, what this show and podcast is all about is adopting to technology and following early adopters. If there was a theme for this show, that would be it, right?
Yeah.
Adopting and, you know, early adoption, that's where it's at. We've shared multiple times. That's where competitive advantage is these days. Follow the early adopters. Follow people who are willing to test things out and give you the insight in the back end. Follow people who kind of foresee where things are going. Because again, as things get more and more competitive and saturated, you don't want to be the market. You don't want to be that part of the diagram where you're kind of following the herd. You want to be on the trendsetter in the beginning, because that's where the money's made and that's where you get results. Good rule of thumb is just to follow early adopters. And what I do, Neil, is I have my early adopters. I follow them religiously. So I'm watching what they're doing. You know, how are they affecting, you know, what were they leaning towards, what they were doing when it comes to content, what automations are they setting up, all that stuff. These are all little clues. Yeah, these are all little life leaves you clues. You know, you want to be receptive to those types of clues.
You know, I was a techie from way back. In fact, in one of my previous careers, that's what I did, software development. I worked in the IT space. So when I became an attorney and opened my own practice, that was a natural place for me to be, to exploit technology for my own advantage. And I was cutting edge in those days. Now, I will admit that I've fallen back a little bit, and as in large part because the advances in technology have increased exponentially. So if you were that person like me, who you've gotten behind a little bit, you can still jump back in. You know, there's still room to learn and grow. And I would say, you know, along with Sam, follow early adopters and be open-minded to what they're doing, people like Sam. But also, I would say again, one more time, you've already invested in certain tools that you're using. And I know for a fact, for an absolute fact with 100% certainty, that you are only scratching the surface of the capabilities of the tools you already own. Okay. Spend your time there to get more proficient. Have your team spend their time there. Bring people in to help your firm learn more of what they can do with the tools you already have in terms of technology and automation.
Great point. Neil, number five. Something I never imagined starting a law firm that would be so important is reading people and people skills in general, right? Yeah. You want to talk about this one?
Yeah, we've talked about this in the past in that, you know, from a cultural standpoint, you have to be able to build a team that you find engaging and that you want to work with on a consistent basis. And in doing so, you have to become an expert at being able to understand people and what motivates them, what their challenges are, and how you can help them. And the key part here, I think, is tapping into their concerns, their issues. And how do you do that? Well, you really have to show genuine interest. You have to be more interested in them than interesting to them. I think that paraphrasing that phrase, but you really have to be sensitive to what other people are trying to communicate to you. And, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You're going to find a lot of times there's a lot of importance in the unspoken communication that people offer you. You know, tap into it, pay attention to it, learn how to read people and develop some interpersonal skills. And look, it may be something. I know I had to go through some real formal training to kind of work with that and try and be more sensitive to that. So it's really an important aspect of what we're talking about here.
And Neil, and I can attest that's definitely your strong suit by far. And something that you're really good at, something you thrive at, something you enjoy doing. So what that means for you, and I know you've been leaning towards it for most of your career, is to lean towards that at all times as much as possible. What I found, Neil, something pretty interesting is playing poker growing up really helped with this. It's definitely a skill that gets built over time that, you know, you're sitting across a poker table and you have to decipher what they have, even though they don't show you their cards. It's an interesting kind of game where you got to kind of feel them out, feel their energy. And if, you know, I could share with you my breakdown of how I read people on a poker table. Neil, I look to number one, first layer is the person interested? Is the first layer. So you look to see where their attention is. If all of a sudden they quickly perk up, or then now they're paying attention, well, that's level one, which means there's something just spiked. This usually means that they have something. Number two is if they're kind of all of a sudden once they perk up, once they get a little bit quiet, then that means they're hiding something.
Yeah, they don't want you to know what they have.
Correct. But if they're just trying to out talk and just be out there, usually they're trying to put up a front. That means they don't have something. Third is eyes. Your eyes are a very defining factor of where people's attention is. So you look to that. As soon as the cards come out, where do they look at? So what I found is, you know, when the cards come out, if they look at their chips, that means that's the next logical thing that they have is like, oh, I have a good hand based on the hand that just came out. Now your mind is how much should I bet or how many chips should I get, you know, try to get out of this. So you look for that. And then there's probably a million other intangible little clues that you get. You collect all those different clues and intangible signs, and then you make a decision based on that. Well, guess what? Everything that I just shared here could also be applied to a job interview or your own team or your prospects and clients to try to decipher where they're at and, you know, how could you get them to take the next step if that's what's best for them. All those kind of skills, never would have thought, Neil, playing poker as an 18 or maybe even 16-year-old, I would be, you know, one day applying those same skills in a job interview.
Yeah, one of the areas where I kind of developed some of my interpersonal skills was teaching, and particularly teaching kids. You know, again, one of my other careers ago is I owned and operated a martial arts studio, and I taught a lot of children. And you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to read children. You have to understand what's going on behind, you know, their outward behavior. And those skills, it never ceased to amaze me that I applied the same skills to teaching a 5-year-old as I would to communicating with a 55-year-old. You know, we're no different. We are no different. And just the thing is with the youngsters that you get, you know, some immediate feedback. And so you're able to kind of gauge your actions a little better. The 55-year-old is going to hide some things or try to hide some things from you. So, you know, I encourage you to work with children. You'll develop skills.
I like that. I like that, Neil. Neil, let's share a bonus, which is having a growth mindset, right? You might have mentioned it a little bit earlier. Having a mindset of just wanting to grow and being open-minded and having a kind of lifelong commitment to just constantly learning and not, you know, closing yourself off and just, you know, saying, I don't like when, you know, Vince like this, whatever that is. So I think good news is for our listeners, I can attest to you, I can assure you that not 100% of our listeners are growth-oriented people. So great. Congratulations. You are definitely in the top 1% of people who are looking to grow and do well. And as long as you stay commitment, which I know you guys are, because if you're this late into the episode, then you will do well and have an amazing life.
Absolutely.
All right. So amazing episode. Just a quick little recap. The 5 skills, underrated skills that are the hidden keys to legal success. Number one is prompt engineering. Learn how to talk to AI. We have a lot of those kind of trainings instead of joinlawyerclub.com. A lot of, you know, bunch of different masterminds and things that we've done based on that. Number two, setting up automations and learning how to use Zapier, crucial. Number three, resilience and not giving up no matter what. Number four, adapting and following early adopters. And number five, reading people and people skills, and the bonus, having a growth mindset. Neil, we have a good next couple episodes. We appreciate you. If you got value from this episode, please If you're on YouTube, give us a like. If you're listening on the podcast, please leave us a review. All the links in the show notes, everything is in the show notes, including the review link. So if you can, if you don't mind, if you've been listening to us for some time, please leave us a review. And if you haven't already, please book a call out at mylegalacademy.com. Please mention to us that you came from the Law Entrepreneur podcast. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to continuing this journey with you inside of our program.
And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and to the YouTube channel so that you get it every week.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.